Let's start with a scripture this morning in Romans 1, 17. Romans 1, 17, it says, and it's talking about the gospel here. We'll look at that a little closer later. But it says, For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We must live by faith. One of the primary roles of any good church, and this is a good church, if you haven't figured that out yet, this is a good church. One of the primary roles of any good church is to help people live by faith, to help you live by faith. Now, I presume you want to live a life of faith. Why? Because, well, like most people, I presume that you want to live a life of victory. To be victorious in life, you have to live by faith. You have to live by faith. You'll see that more as I go through this message. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you again for just a great morning, great people, great place. We ask that your blessing and your strength and wisdom would come through in this message, that you would open our hearts and stir us up to new and greater things. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Faith is the essence of the Christian experience. It's not just a part of it. It is a central essence of the Christian experience. Let's take a look at some scriptures. I'm just going to zip through these rather quickly. It all says pretty much what Romans 1:17 says. Habakkuk 2:4. It says, behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Romans 1:17, we read it as that the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel, and it is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And then in Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Faith is not a simple acknowledgement of a religious affiliation. You know, we often hear that. Well, he is of the Lutheran faith, or he is of the Muslim faith, or the Catholic faith, or the Baptist faith. It's not merely agreeing to a set of principles or ideas that one group has established. That's not what we call faith. That's how the world has determined what faith is. You can't allow the culture, popular media, to define what biblical terms mean for you. Let's take a look at faith. God's definition of faith is found in Hebrews 11:1. I don't know about you, but I have spent many, many years going over this one scripture and trying to understand it better, trying to get a better enlightenment about faith. But here's what it says. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's kind of hard to grasp onto that, isn't it? It'd be nice if there was a very clear-cut, you know, step-by-step process and definition of this whole thing we call faith. It is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Our faith is expressed by our positive response to the revelation of God's word. You know, I've heard often people use an example for faith, trying to help people understand faith. And I've seen a guy put a chair up on stage, and he'll tell you, now, faith is being able to sit down in that chair believing that it is going to support you. Because it takes faith. I mean, you might have some concern. What if I sat down and it didn't support me and I fell? So it's faith exercised by sitting down. And I think that's totally wrong. Because I can look at that chair and I can look at how it's built, whether it looks sturdy or not. And I can sit down with some confidence before I do it that it's going to support me. Because I have evidence that is seen. See, God's definition of faith is, well, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Sometimes, you know, at work or when I'm with other folks, I want to talk a little bit about Jesus. And sometimes I'll say, hey, guess what I saw last week in church? How far do you think it would go if I said, hey, guess what I saw last week in church? Oh, an amazing thing happened. The guy up on stage, he sat a chair down and he sat in it. Wow, what an expression of faith. I'm talking big faith here. He sat down in a chair. No, that's not what faith is. There are two ways to know things. Reason or revelation. In this world, there are two ways that you can know about the world around you and the world not around you. One is by reason. One is by revelation. Reason bases everything on what you can discern with your five physical senses. And we pretty much rely on that a whole lot more than we should. There are ways that we have developed to enhance our ability to know things in our world, right? We've got glasses. Without my glasses, I wouldn't see nearly as well. It strengthens my sense of sight. We've got, even beyond that, microscopes, telescopes, all kinds of technical equipment. We can see things with ultrasonic waves now. Reason is how we know what we know about the physical world. But you need to understand, there is a whole lot more world out there than this physical world. I'm talking about the world of God, of angels, the devil and demons. I'm talking about, you know, heaven and hell. All of that is real. Make no mistake about it. All of that is real, but you cannot discern it by the five physical senses. You cannot reason your way into understanding God. The only way to know about God and this other element of our world, the spiritual world, is by revelation. Now, God communicates to all of us in a broad sense through creation, through the physical world that we live in. In fact, in Romans 1:20, we like that scripture because it really points it out. It says, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes," speaking about God, "His invisible attributes are clear, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So it's basically saying anybody who can take a look around at the world and how it's made, the wonder of creation, ought to be able to figure out, okay, there is a higher power. There is something out there. This didn't just come about. By the way, that's going to play a big part in our lessons on Wednesday. So you might show up for that. God also speaks to humans in a more specific way. I mean, the general way is just look around at, you know, look at the baby in the back. How can you not know there's a God? But in a more specific way, God reveals things to us, helps us to know things by revelation. That's why a genius with an IQ of 160 doesn't have any more advantage over hearing God than a child. Amen. God doesn't relate to us on an intellectual level. I mean, you can have an intellectual understanding of God, but to have a true understanding of God and a relationship with God, it doesn't happen intellectually, not merely intellectually. When God brings revelation to us and we respond in some positive way, that's faith. When God reveals something to you and you go, okay, now I'm going to act on that, I'm going to respond as though it's true, that's faith. Think about Abraham. Abraham had faith. He is the father of faith, as we call him. Abraham's amen, his agreement with God, was unreasonable. He was acting on faith. He was acting on some substance that he couldn't grasp in his own hand. He was believing for something that he could not see with his physical eyes or sense with any other senses. Let's look at Romans 4. I'm going to read a little bit of scripture here, starting in verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope, this is Abraham, contrary to hope, in hope, so believed that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now think about that. We'll continue on in a moment. If Abraham had been a reasonable man, he would have rejected this whole idea. See, Abraham was promised that he would have a child, but he's 100 years old. His wife is 80 years old. In all of their married life, they never had children. She was barren. He's beyond, and she's beyond childbearing age. So God making that promise, revealing that to him, was not reasonable. The first use of the word believe in the Bible is associated with Abraham believing the revelation from God in Genesis 15:6, where it says, and he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. See, when God reveals something to you, respond to it positively, that's faith. Abraham could have been reasonable and rejected the idea, but Abraham believed. Now, God has a primary way of bringing revelation to us. It's not by visions. It's not by long walks through the woods, listening to the wind and the pines above your head. The primary instrument of God's revelation is through the Bible, the Word of God. And faith is a positive response to God's revelation. And that revelation, the primary source, is revealed in the Scriptures. But he can reveal to us in other ways as well. Amen? Look at Romans 1, verses 16 and 17. We looked at 17. Now we're going to back up a little bit and look at 16. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the way God has ordained for man to be right with him. See, a righteousness from God was revealed, not reasoned. It was revealed. Again, if you try to reason through this whole thing of salvation, of blood that was shed for you and now is applied to your life, blood shed 2,000 years ago now can set you free, can bring you liberty, can wash your sins. I'm sorry, that's not reasonable. I mean, it's just not reasonable. You have to receive that by revelation and then respond to that revelation in a positive way. And I like the way that it says, it is revealed from faith to faith. Faith to faith. The word faith is in the Bible 483 times. This is the only place in the Bible where the word faith is used three times in one verse. From faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Faith is the word that the Bible uses to describe this thing we call Christianity. See, we call it Christianity. But if you look through the New Testament, 33 times it is called the faith. The faith. Faith is not just some part of this thing. It is the whole thing. It is, again, the essence of what we are. The New International Version translates this faith, or the phrase, from faith to faith, as from first to last. And I kind of like that. I mean, you can see that because, well, you get into the kingdom of God first by faith, and it's faith that's going to take you home in the very end. Amen? From faith to faith, from first to last, it's all good. And it doesn't matter how goofed up your life is, you can have a new beginning. A new beginning. From the moment you apply God's promise to your life. And there is no promise in this that won't cover, there is no situation in your life that isn't covered by a promise from God that can be found in the Scriptures. I know some people say, well, I got this problem in my life. I don't know how the Bible applies to that. Well, just ask somebody. Ask Pastor Ben. He can come up with one for you. He'll find a promise for you. I'll find a promise for you. Many of these people in the group can find you a promise that relates to the issue, the situation that you're going to, something that you can hang on to and respond positively to by faith. Instead of worrying and reasoning out the problem, begin to trust and believe in God. Now, you can begin anew by faith, and faith can take you to your destiny. We know about Joshua and Caleb, right? Joshua and Caleb made it to their promised land. And I think one of the saddest stories that we have in Scripture is that 600,000 men and their wives died in the wilderness and never made it to their promised land. Why? They did a whole lot of reasoning and not a lot of believing. See, they didn't respond in a positive way to God's word, who said he would protect them and he would take them into the promised land and that they would reap the benefits of it. They didn't believe that. Joshua and Caleb, they believed it. Joshua and Caleb had a strong faith confession. They said, our God is well able. Amen. What situation are you facing today? I can tell you, our God is well able. Now, you can reason out whether you make it through or you can believe. Our God is well able. You can put faith in his word. By faith, Caleb even had his promised land destination already picked out. He already knew the part that he was going to inhabit when they made it into the promised land. He had it set aside in his own mind, had been working for it. He lived by faith. He spent his time dreaming about that place. He was confessing it as his own. He was praying for it. He was preparing for it. Now think about your own life. What are you preparing for now? What are you believing for? What has God revealed to you? And what are you doing now that you have that revelation? Faith is a lifestyle. We often say that, but it's a lifestyle. It's not something that we just talk about on Sundays and read about in books or hear in sermons. We are faith people. It's how we are supposed to live. It's should be our natural, normal way of living. See, the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And unfortunately, most people live their lives under that oppression. Most people's lives are filled with loss and theft and destruction, and they're struggling to get by. But Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, right? So, how do we live the abundant life? By faith. By faith. Romans 8:2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death." Can you believe that? It's beyond reason. It's beyond reason. But until you learn to live by faith, the law of sin and death will dominate your life. It's always going to be working against you. Always working against you. If you're not living by faith, you will allow reason to rule your life, and you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out on so much that God wants to do in you and through you. Let me give you an example. Back in 2005, I was on the phone with a friend, a ministry friend that I had met only by email and a couple of phone conversations in Liberia. His name is Pastor Andrew Gombe. And it was a God thing how he came into our lives and we into theirs. And he kept asking me for a couple of years to come and do a leadership conference for pastors and church leaders there. And I kept saying, yeah, maybe someday, someday. One day we're on the phone, and yeah, I don't know if I can relate well. It's difficult to understand the Liberian accent. They do speak English, but it's a little odd, and you have to get used to it. And over the phone, it's even worse. So I mentioned to him, I said, okay, well, let's say, because I'm starting to think that might be a good idea. You know, if I were to come over there and we were to hold this conference, how many pastors do you think we could get there? And he said, 500. It's like, what? Did you say 500? Yeah, 500. Are you just saying that to get me there? Because, you know, I was like, come on, 500? No, no, really, 500. Okay. Well, right there, I kind of had a little revelation. There is something there that needs to take place in Liberia. So, I started making plans to go to Liberia. Now, Liberia had just come off of 14 years of civil war. A large number, like 600,000 is probably about the same number, that were killed in that war in Liberia. And things hadn't settled down yet. They were getting ready to hold their first democratic elections in all of that time span. There was no electricity in the country. They'd all destroyed all of the infrastructure. There was no running water in the country. It was a place of devastation and death and just a terrible place to go or be. In my plans, I kind of made some connections on the internet, and I would get emails every month from the CIA. The CIA kind of keeps track of how things are around the world. And they put out little posts saying, don't go there. Every month, this is not a good place for Americans to go. Stay out of Liberia. We don't recommend anybody travel to Liberia. Okay, now if I was a reasonable man, if I would have reasoned my way through that, when we actually did go to Liberia, what they were saying was true. The hotel that we stayed at was a terrible kind of a place, but it had the basic amenities, and it also had on the three floors of this hotel guards stationed with AK-47s on each floor. As you walked up to your room, you'd pass the guards and you'd say hi. And they'd just watch you go by. There was a tank outside the compound walls. This hotel was walled in with razor wire up at the top. There was a tank that sat out front the gate to that hotel that we stayed at. Of course, we didn't just stay in the hotel. We went out into the country and wherever we needed to go to do the ministry. The funniest part about that whole trip, and what made it even more unreasonable, if you ever go on a missions trip, you can buy insurance for missionaries. You pay certain company the money, and if something happens to you on a missionary trip, they guarantee they're going to take care of you. You know, if you're sick, they'll get you help medically. If you die, they're going to make sure your body gets back home. I called this company before we went on this trip to buy insurance for myself and the man who went with me, and they refused to sell me insurance. They said, it's too dangerous. We won't cover you there. Now, to me, I'm thinking, yeah, but isn't that what you do? You only cover people that are going to Canada? If we would have reasoned our way through that, if we would have taken a reasonable approach, we would have said, no, we're not coming. And that promise that the pastor had for 500 pastors, church leaders showing up for that conference, our first night we had 750. And by the time we finished, there were over 1,000. There were too many to hold within the building. There were people standing outside of the windows that were still shattered by the bullets that had been fired months before, just standing and listening to the messages that were taking place there. If I would have acted on reason and not on revelation, not on faith, on what God was telling me to do, we wouldn't have had the influence that we had there. We wouldn't have been able to reach those pastors and church leaders who really were desperate for a good word, for strength. Faith is the means by which we interact with God. The proud man thinks that he can live without God. I mean, for the atheist and the heathen and the spiritually lazy, that really kind of makes sense. That's reasonable. You can live without God. Notice I mentioned the spiritually lazy. The Christian who thinks he can confine God to just a church service now and then, that person is proud. That person is walking in pride. They may not conduct themselves in an arrogant way, but that's really what they are. This scripture says the just shall live by his faith. Notice his faith. His faith. You have to develop your own faith. If you're going to live out your own destiny, you have to have your own faith. You have to have your own faith. Let's back up again to verse 2 to get the context. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Go with me now to Habakkuk 2. We read 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and will not lie, though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Actually, I wanted to go to verse 2. Then the Lord answered me and said, I'm kind of getting myself mixed up here. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets. By the way, vision is your prophetic revelation, the prophetic revelation that God has for you. Remember I said that faith is responding to revelation in a positive way. So write that vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Your future is your vision, the prophetic revelation that God has for you. It concerns your destiny. It concerns the purpose of God for your life. Write that vision down. It says write it on tablets. I've got a tablet. Or a notebook. Write it down somewhere where you can go back to it, where you can refer to it. When things start becoming unreasonable, you can go back and say, well, but this is what God said. This is the promise that God is leading me to. Write the vision on your tablet. Write down the scriptures that you're holding on to in faith, the scriptures that speak to your situation. And it says in verse 3, the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it will speak and will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. You see, the vision, that revelation, is yet for an appointed time. Who appointed the time? Not you. I mean, if you would have appointed the time would have been like yesterday, right? It would be for me. It's like, oh, that's good, God. Okay, let's do it now. Jesus said in Acts 1:7, he said, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. And see, that's one of the problems or one of the hang-ups we have. We get this revelation from God of what he wants to do in our life, the destiny that he has for us, and we kind of start to pursue that, but then we get tired. We grow weary, and we don't hold on to it in faith. Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. You realize Jesus has a vision, right? The Father has revealed his destiny. And an important part of that vision of the destiny of Jesus is that he is going to return for the church. He's coming back for his bride. But if you were able to ask Jesus, just stand right before him and say, Jesus, when are you coming back for the church? He's going to say, I don't know. Yeah, but Jesus, you know that's your destiny. When are you coming back? I don't know. If Jesus doesn't have all the times and the dates appointed for his destiny, if they've not been fully revealed to him, why would you think God is going to fully reveal it all to you? See, we must not give in to reason, but hang on to faith. Hang on to the revelation. It seems much easier to get God to tell you what than it does to get him to tell you when. Oftentimes we get the what and we get all excited and we grow weary because we don't know the when. Joseph had a dream at age 17. God revealed to him a revelation of his future, of his destiny at age 17. That's in Genesis 37. But it wasn't fulfilled until 23 years later. Think about that. How many of us could hang on to a vision from God for 23 years, not give up on it? It takes faith beyond reason to hold on to your belief for 23 years, particularly when your circumstances are continually contrary to the promise. I mean, if you look at Joseph's life, it surely didn't seem like he was headed for the destiny that God had revealed to him. But we have to remember, the revelation speaks of the end. It speaks of the end. Isaiah 46:10 says, God declares the end from the beginning. You see, faith is reacting positively to the revelation of God. And one of the ways that we react positively to God's revelation is that we hold firmly to it. We confess it. We speak of it. We remind ourselves of it. Boy, I do that a lot. We confess what we know is true, right? We remind ourselves. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come. It will not delay. Recently, I purchased something online from China. I purchased it, and I didn't know really what was going to happen. Well, I kind of did. You know, you might say it took a little faith to purchase something from China. When I purchased it, when I pressed that last button, well, it seemed like nothing was happening. Right? As far as I could tell, nothing was going on. I didn't get any response. I didn't get anything. But you know what? A week later, that device showed up. Pretty amazing. 1 week later. Judging by all I could see, however, nothing was happening. my order vision was in waiting. But see, it really wasn't waiting. From my perspective, it was waiting. I couldn't see what was going on. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know where that package was at any time until it showed up at my front door. But I tell you, there were things happening in the background that I had no concept of. Now listen, if I can trust a faceless online company in another land to deliver on a promise they made to me, well, certainly I can trust God. Certainly I can believe for God. I mean, I may not know the dates, I may not know the times of the promises that God has to fulfill in my life, but God will not let me down. Our God is faithful. And let me caution you with this. While you are waiting for that promise, guard the promise from reason. By that I mean it's very easy for us to say, well, it's been now 6 years and I really haven't seen that promise come to pass. Maybe I heard God wrong. Maybe this is what God meant when he said that. If we go back to the story of Abraham believing for that child that God had promised, what got Abraham into trouble? He started to reason things out. Well, maybe God said he would bless us with a child, but maybe it wasn't going to be by his wife, Sarah. So maybe they need to bring somebody else in who was more able and capable. Surely that was God's plan. I mean, that's reasonable, right? That's more reasonable than believing Sarah's going to have the child. Ooh, you got to guard against reason. Guard against, and I'm not, you know, I guess there's a balance to this message about being unreasonable. Well, I don't have time for all that right now. What I want you to understand is guard against reason. God's promises are not necessarily reasonable. And holding on in faith is not a reasonable process. You have to believe beyond reason. As more time passes, we can grow anxious for the fulfillment of what we believe God for. And the longer it lingers, the more we are likely to be tempted by reason, to water us down, to change our course of action from what we knew and believed to begin with. We all need to develop our faith. We all need to develop our faith. And part of that development is being able to believe beyond reason. Now, I have a feeling there are people here who have had a promise, and you have let that slip away. You have reasoned it away, possibly. Well, I want to pray for you. I want us to be able to join together again and say, let's renew our faith for those things that we know God has destined for our lives. Maybe you don't know what your destiny is. Maybe you haven't decided. You haven't received that revelation. You've not understood what God is planning for your future. This would be a good time to come up and get prayer as well. Amen? I know Sarah and I are on the prayer teams this morning. Who else? Yeah, well, come on up. Come on up. Now. Come now. Come now. I want people to have a face that they can associate with so that they can come up. And if you have been disappointed because you've been waiting and you've been waiting and you haven't seen what you believed God for starting to manifest in your life, well, I want you to renew that commitment to believe and not be necessarily reasonable. Does that make sense? Am I the only one that has to fight this thing called reason? I don't think so. So, I'm going to join Sarah down here, and Troy and Tricia over here. And if we have more people, we'll get more people to pray. But if you would like someone to pray with you so that you can again believe and refresh that faith for what God has promised in your life, come on up and I'll let you take over.